Welcome to the Australian Chiropractors Association podcast. The ACA is the peak body representing chiropractors in Australia. These podcasts explore the science, art, philosophy, and politics of chiropractic, as well as reviewing the latest research and discussing how chiropractors can strive for excellence in practice.
Welcome to the Australian Chiropractic Association National Podcast, where we share the stories, insights, and experiences shaping the chiropractic profession and the people within it. I'm your podcast host, Dr. Kim Lejeune. I'd like to begin our podcast by respectfully acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which we record this podcast and pay our respects to the elders, past and present. We recognize and honor their ongoing connection to land, waters, culture, and community. We extend that respect to all Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people listening in today. Now, guys, today's episode is titled, I've sort of titled it as in, for quote-unquote, finding your way back to purpose. And it's a conversation that I think will resonate deeply with many practitioners, even students, or even those who are quietly questioning where they sit within their professional journey. We often see successful practitioners and assume confidence, certainty, and clarity have always been part of their path. I'm no stranger to that. I certainly have been in that position years ago. But for many, the road to becoming the practitioner that they were meant to be is filled with a lot of doubt, setbacks, frustration, moments of feeling completely lost. Joining us today is Dr. Ryan Hislop, who openly shares his journey of navigating those challenges, searching for his calling, finding his clinical grounding, and ultimately rediscovering purpose within chiropractic and within himself. Just a little bit of a background. Dr. Ryan Hislop is a registered chiropractor and managing partner of Align Chiro in Orange, New South Wales. Ryan graduated from Macquarie University in 2009 and completed his Diploma in Orthopaedics through the International Academy of Neuromuscular Medicine in 2019. He currently serves as the Oceania board member for the IANM, which is the International Academy of Neuromuscular Medicine, and remains actively involved in advancing clinical education and standards within the profession. Ryan has a particular interest in dizziness and vestibular disorders, and in 2026, he completed advanced concussion certification through the IANM. Ryan is passionate about helping people better understand the connection between the brain, nervous system, and movement, while translating complex science into practical strategies that improve health and performance. Now, this is an honest conversation about growth, resilience, identity, mentorship, lessons learned the hard way, and what truly takes to evolve into an authentic practitioner. Whether you're thriving, struggling, rebuilding, or simply searching for direction, there's something in this episode I reckon you're going to find very useful. So without further ado, Dr. Ryan Hislop, welcome to the ACA podcast.
Thanks so much for having me on, Kim.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. I wanted to have you on because I happened to see something on socials that you had posted, and I thought that the message that you had conveyed through that little reel that you put together was very honest. And I think that all the people, for 35 years that I've worked now, I've come across many chiropractors, I think would certainly have appreciated knowing the journey is not alone. So maybe all that I've sort of shared to date, maybe if you could give us we're going to run through a lot of questions here and hopefully tie in a lot of information that all of us chiropractors can relate to, but more importantly, maybe share with our listeners a brief synopsis of, say, your journey to date.
Yeah, thanks, Kim. Thanks for the opportunity. And I do hope this lands with the people in our profession that are experiencing a similar journey to what I've experienced and share some hope, I guess, through that there is a bright end if you can navigate through that hard time. Starting out, I graduated 2009 out of Macquarie University, and I don't know what was happening about that time, but compared to now, there wasn't many opportunities out there. So whatever was there, I just essentially took that opportunity in a group that had several different practices. Ended up actually up in the Blue Mountains for several years, and I know because we have a lot of associates that work in our group the first couple of years is often quite a challenge. And if there's not much support, often if there's a lot of pressure and you just don't know how to navigate it or change what you're doing to improve your performance or your learning or whatever it might be, you can really get stuck in quite a dark situation where you feel maybe it's the profession that's not for you, or my calling and purpose isn't in this direction. And I've seen a lot of my colleagues that I graduated with sort of drop out in that first couple of years. And so since then, I was blessed enough that my direction had a quite a shift, and I could we'll share, I guess, that through this podcast, which led me to be with the group I'm currently with. And I've been there for the last, I think, 14 years, and gradually sort of developed and grown as a chiropractor through that situation to now where we've got 15 practices across New South Wales and Victoria. I'm in quite a unique setting here in a sort of private hospital GP practice setting. There's a couple of chiropractors here with me as well. And yeah, through that, really, like you say, found a calling, found a purpose. Every day I turn up to work now is sort of the dream practice. It's not stressful. You get to enjoy what you do every day, and you really love what you do, and you look forward to coming back to work.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So there's a lot to unpack there, but if we sort of take it right back to the beginning, I'm interested to, you sort of touched on it briefly, but when you first entered chiropractic, okay, obviously we all have a perception of what we think chiropractic or a practitioner would be like. So what kind of practitioner did you think you were going to become?
Yeah, good question. And I think to a degree, there's a bit of naivety because you only really know what you've been exposed to. My exposure to chiropractic was actually through Dr. Anthony Nicholson. A lot of my cohort remember him. He was one of our lecturers at Macquarie and a very professional and highly esteemed chiropractor. So that was my flagship, I guess, of what I wanted to look like in practice, what I wanted to become. And so that was sort of what I took with the knowledge that, hey, this guy's very, very smart, very intelligent, and he's been in practice for some time. It's going to take me some time to get there. But the picture was, I'm going to be successful. I'm going to be really busy helping heaps of people. It's going to be like just this amazing thing that people are walking in the door, keen to see me because I get great results. And I've probably got a six-month waiting list. Like, it's sort of that really, you know, dream practice perception. But as you can imagine, that's far from the reality.
Yeah, okay, so with that said, was there a point, can you remember a point early in your career where you sort of realized that the reality of kind of like what you're picturing, or the picture of what you want and the reality of it was very different from what you expected? Can you remember a particular point, and what was that point in your career?
Yeah, I think it hit home probably within the first 12 months where I think going into a new position, you recognize that that dream is not going to be reality within a short time frame. It's going to take time to grow into that and build your skills and your practice. But I think after 12 months of sort of hitting quite a plateau, just grinding it out every day, working longer hours, trying to make ends meet, not in terms of being in poverty, but more of like, I've got to get this dream happening. It was a point about 12 months in, we actually opened another site, and I was working across two practices doing almost double the hours, and it just wasn't shifting the needle. It just wasn't moving. And yeah, I guess there was that point in time I was recognizing, it's like, actually, this is not what I thought it was going to be. Something either needs to change in myself, or maybe this isn't for me.
Well, I guess fortuitously looking back, maybe it was great that it occurred in the first 12 months, right?
Yeah, that's right.
As opposed to 25 years later.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. Well, that's fantastic. So in that regard, I'm assuming in that first, well, by that 12 months mark, you sort of touched on it in the beginning of what you said about your journey. Did you have moments? You sort of said that just then as well. If you had moments where you really questioned whether you were truly in the right profession, and how did you answer that for yourself?
Yeah, it got to probably the third year that I was in this same practice. So I'd really just stuck it out. I said this to myself before I started there. I thought, you know, actually, if I want to try and learn as much as I can and get as much as I can, I really need to stick this out for a good 3 years.
Yeah.
And it was sort of by that year three that I was at the point, like I just got married that year as well. So, you know, my wife and I had moved into our first house and and started to change hugely with life in that regard too.
Mm.
And I was like, you know what, this is not gonna do. Like I've got to try something different. And I actually started, I was a volunteer firefighter in the Blue Mountains.
Oh, right, okay.
I loved it. And so I was like, actually, let's go full time. Like you can work 4 days a week in the station and then you've got the rest of the week to keep being a chiropractor. But I think my view actually went to my primary profession is not going to be a chiropractor anymore. It's going to be a firefighter.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm. So I did consider it seriously. I don't actually remember taking the step to put in an application or anything, but by that third year, it was getting to the point that it was make or break, like something had to change. Yeah, and it was either that I stepped out of the profession or I took the step I ended up taking.
Yeah, well, statistics shows that 50% of our profession drop off in the first 5 years. So you're bordering on that, you're teetering on that mark there, weren't you?
Mm, yep. Yeah, it was almost a statistic.
Yeah, almost. Thank goodness you weren't.
Thank you,
So what were the biggest, you don't have to share too much personally, but what were the biggest personal or professional struggles you faced during that period? Because obviously you're in that, you know, you've done 5 years of really, intensive study. You've worked 3 years. There must have been a lot of, the struggles inside your own head, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Like this is, I think it's almost like elite sport. Like it's more of a mind game than it is physically. And I think part of it was I didn't really know what was wrong, why it wasn't working, where to turn, who to talk to. And the environment that I was in at the time, the people that I was working with were actually quite challenging to be around too. So stress was a big impact. And unfortunately, I think I probably had a degree of tendency to be anxious, but that constant stress and that constant, the pressure that I was feeling really ended up almost heading towards a full burnout. It was tough, like turning up to work every day. And I remember looking back now and looking at some of the sympathetic dominance sort of protocol, really seeing that my nervous system was just in that state constantly. And I think that's only in hindsight. At the time, great friends, great family surrounding me, good church family. Like I didn't realize the impact it had on me because I had such support.
Yeah.
But looking back, it really has an impact, and I can see why it does affect so many of our profession if they're not supported well.
Yeah.
The body will shut down and won't let you continue, even if your mind wants you to eventually.
Yeah. Well, we almost become one of our patients, don't we? We see on a regular basis, and we're trying to give them and educate them about the importance of decreasing and minimizing and, taking the sympathetic dominant state out of their system. And yet we're becoming one of them as well.
Absolutely. It's not a great example, is it?
Well, yeah, like I said earlier, so we're grateful that you come out of that. So I know that I personally have felt this, but over the years, did comparisons with other practitioners ever affect your confidence or the direction? Was that a factor that came into play, or was it just very much you just wasn't sure about the whole profession and where you fit into it?
Yeah, actually, looking back, there were several of my cohort that went through uni that some of them by that stage had actually dropped the profession completely. So I think that was in one aspect of my mind that it's like, wow, actually, like those guys were really bright at uni. They were really great adjusters and they're gone. Like some have joined the police force, others have gone into insurance, like complete career shifts.
Wow.
And on the other side, I actually had a couple other colleagues I was quite close with that had moved regionally. So they'd moved interstate, some went up into the Northern Territory, and they were absolutely thriving, like just practices that were fantastic and exploding. So I think I had this comparison of both sides of the spectrum of like, hey, this is possible, but this is also possible.
Yeah.
Like you could go down either track here, and it does come down to a decision you've got to make. And part of that was then looking at them and going, what are they doing different? Like, is it purely their environment, or have they actually been able to pick something apart that they've been able to apply and then grow themselves and succeed as a chiropractor?
Well, it's full credit to you again to be able to take a step back. Sometimes when we're in it, we don't always necessarily can see the forest through the trees, so to speak. And it's great that you've been able to pull yourself from that and then look sort of outside in and to see, look, you know, maybe I just need to change a few things. Yeah. Would that be correct?
Yeah. Like in hindsight, I think this has been a great exercise for me actually looking back on this journey, because like you say, when you're in it, I don't actually think you can see past the blinders. You are tunnel visioned, just surviving. And I think just through the way things worked out and this opportunity to look back on it, it can really see that guiding hand. It's just almost allowed me to see those things in a brighter light and be able to make those decisions externally of the situation at hand.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's really good to understand that background. So I guess moving forward from that point, at that point in your life, can you recall what helped you reconnect your purpose and sort of allow you that journey to begin finding your footing again?
Yeah. So the first step in that process was removing myself from that situation. And it was a big jump. And I think this is part on that last question of seeing my other cohort that were doing really well. They actually moved outside of their comfort zone. And for me, I got in touch with one of the chiros that was in a year above me at uni. So I knew of him and I'd come across him. His name's Jesse Middleton. He'd been in Bathurst, and you hear about people really doing quite well in practice. And Bathurst from Sydney is probably about a 2.5 hour drive. And I was like, I've got to reach out to this guy and just see if he'd be happy with me coming and watching him, observing, and see if there's any opportunities on the horizon. And about 6 months later, he actually said, "Oh, Ryan, I've just bought a practice in Mudgee. Would you like to go and check it out?" So I actually did that and saw Jesse and met up with him and watched him in practice. And it was like a light bulb moment where I was like, "Well, hold on. This is what I want to be doing. This is my purpose. I can see him living out what I want to achieve." So I took that leap. Never been to Mudgee in my life. So it's about 3 to 4 hours from Sydney. It's a beautiful town, by the way. Like, if you want to go visit a beautiful winery area, check it out.
Yeah, I agree.
So took that step. And really, I think that was the catalyst to start to see this shift in living that purpose out. So it was a solo practice. I was on my own. So there was a lot of growth that was necessary. And I was happy to do that. I was happy to push hard and learn from what Jesse had done. We're still in a group together, so we would mentor each other and train together and work on our communication skills. And then it was through those years in Mudgee that I took another level. And actually, it's sort of a full circle with Anthony Nicholson that I spoke about, that I first observed before I became a chiropractor. He actually runs the coursework for the IANM board certification. And so I've always looked up to Anthony, and this came up. And so that really then drilled down on that greater purpose of being an expert, really knowing what we're dealing with, understanding how we're changing the body, and then delivering that to help people day in, day out. And I think from that day forward and just that build up to it, it's just been drilling down on that over and over and over. And it's been amazing.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. I think one of the things that we probably take for granted as practitioners is that, you know, there's all these resources, whether it be people who are willing to open up and chat to you about the possibility of working, or even doing those seminars, or, you know, as you mentioned, training with Jesse and the team on a regular basis. All those little things that we do, and all these resources are there. It's a matter of connecting yourself to that, or even opening yourself up to doing that. It just might shift and change. And perfectly example with yourself is that once you found that and you hooked onto that and you kept going into doing training with the team and found a nice little environment where you could do seminars together and you hang out and you know, you used him as a mentor, all those starts, and then it starts opening other doors, right? So absolutely. I think sometimes it's really hard when you're, like we said earlier, when you're in there, if you don't try and take a backward step out to sort of look outside in and then look at opportunities, you'll never get out of that, and you'll forever be spinning wheels in the same position again. Then 25 years later, you think, oh, you know, I've had enough.
You're not wrong. And like you said, I'm so glad that struggle did happen early on. And I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I didn't leave the profession, but it's, I can only imagine if you look back after 25 years of spinning your wheels and thought, what have I done with my life? That purpose, I'm sure that's gone out the door.
It's one of those life sliding door moments, right? So with, obviously, that was a massive shift, and it was a shift in the right direction, and obviously a fantastic opportunity arose. Do you recall if whether or not from that point onwards, did your approach to patient care change once you became more grounded and certain within yourself? Did you feel like there was a shift within you as a practitioner?
Yeah, I think there was, and I can see this in the associates that I'm training as well. So we've got, there's about 25 chiros.
Ryan, full circle.
Yeah, that's right. Like there's about 25 chiros in our group, and I'd say
brilliant.
Probably half of them are first, second year chiros. So for myself, that first 3 years, I was not confident. I didn't really understand what I was doing and how it was working. I didn't understand how to get results for people that were predictable. And so with that shift into the practice with Jesse, that all of a sudden started to cement a lot of these questions. And so that had a big shift on how I talked to people, how I communicated with them, how I recommended care to each individual person, and knowing that I would get the result for them too. So I think that's one thing that graduates really don't have the experience to fall back on. They're told, hey, if this person's got this condition, do this for them over this amount of time and you should find they get better. Yeah. They're just trusting you. They don't have any personal experience to fall back on. So I've seen, I guess, through just almost a leap of faith in that sense, just trusting that, hey, this guy's done it before. Just do what he does. Yeah. And over time, you do the reps, you start to
see that,
to become more confident in your own skills, your own results. And that's something that I'm sure the new graduates that we're speaking to now will completely appreciate, because I know the guys that we work with are in that same boat. And that's where you've almost got to just hang on to the coattails of someone that's done it before. Take their advice, go with it, trust them. And also just find that it works for you. For instance, the practice I was in initially was a technique that I didn't really resonate with. It didn't really suit my understanding of how things worked. And then I was able to sort of dive into something that I felt much more comfortable with. And that's the cool thing about chiropractic. There's all sorts of techniques that suit every individual. But I guess the big thing beyond that was then also the personal growth. So coming through that situation, obviously you're either sinking or swimming. Thankfully, I was still floating by the end of it, only just. But then Jesse was really big on, hey, part of being a great clinician is also that personal growth for yourself, knowing who you are, what your values are, what your purpose is. And then when you start combining these things all together, you get super grounded. Like you really see your purpose being acted out every day. You have confidence in it. You have clarity. It just builds from there.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I can honestly vouch for myself, but I'm sure that every practitioner at some point recognize, and certainly in reflection and looking back, and really see that they probably have gone through that in different stages of their life as well as a practitioner. But the wonderful thing that I love hearing is that with all these young graduates who are working with you nowadays, you're seeing that, you know, and you're also now in turn giving back. I love that. One of the joys of watching our profession is that the people who stay in there long enough, they all give back. And so, you know, whether they say it to you, I'll say it to you, right? thank you. Thank you for giving back to the graduates that are coming through and the associates that you've got. And it's really lovely to see. And I always say to young graduates, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. You know, there's a lot of good chiropractors out there who you can shadow and use as a mentor. Sure, you'll find your own journey, just exactly what you've done. But what you've done was you leaned into someone with a bit of experience, with a bit of know-how. And then now in turn, you're asking those young graduates just to do the same. Lean into my experience and let me just show you what can happen. And I love hearing that. That's fantastic.
And I think our profession is quite unique in it as well, that the more experienced chiropractors are very happy to do that for our younger cohort. Like I'm sort of probably a third through my career, like 16, 17 years in.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people that have done twice as many years as that I could quite easily bring up. Yeah, there you go, Kim.
Guilty.
Yeah, you could quite, and I'm sure if I had a concern, I could probably ring you up and you'd be very happy to share it.
Yeah.
And that's something that is, I think, quite unique to chiropractors, because I know I'm in my office here, I've got sports doctors and surgeons and all sorts of people that are in the elite of their field.
Yeah.
It's not the same game. It is very different in how they interact. Yes, they'll help each other out, but it's not as, I think, the care and the love that chiropractors have for each other is unique to our profession and probably something that sets it apart, to be honest. Mm.
Mm. I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And I see that across the board in anywhere, not even just here in New South Wales, other states, even overseas. I've been overseas and I've experienced that as well. And it's really good. I think maybe the history of where we've come from has created that sort of planted that sort of seed within each and every one of us, whether we like it or not. And knowing that, you know, we are small in number, but we're always resilient. Right. Mm. I think the next question is the thing that I want to ask, and I just touched on the word there, resilience. You know, what sort of role did resilience play in your journey? Because if we look back on it, you know, there were moments that would have been really tough and it would have been easy to just go, you know, out, I'm done, like you said. So how much do you sort of attribute your own resilience in that journey?
Resilience for me, as a, I guess, a topic, I've actually probably dived into more in the last 4 or 5 years, out of interest more than anything. But as you're talking through this, like, you can see that playing out for the entire time, because without the resilience,
you wouldn't be here.
The struggles, you can't get through them. So I think it's been, to a degree, almost thrust upon me in one sense. I didn't really have the option not to be. And I think in hindsight, with what I know now, I would do things differently previously. But I'd say initially it was just something that had to be done. And I think from a resilience aspect, you can draw on resilience from lots of different aspects to sort of always prop you up and help you through those situations. So sometimes that might be your own health and being really fit and mindfulness and those things. But I think for myself at the time, I was really being held up by close friends and family. Before I got married, I was living in a I call it a boys' house. There was about six of us in this mansion in the Blue Mountains. It was a great time. And just the mateship that was there, even though they may not have had a concept of what I was dealing with, was hugely helpful in that. And of course, my wife and my family around me and my sports teams. It's probably one of those things that, like, looking back on it, that was my source of resilience. And it wasn't that I was leaning onto it, but it was just such an ever-present support that it didn't let me fall to the wayside. And I think that's for those people that are in the midst of the fire at the moment, they're going through that process. There's lots of places you can draw it on, but it does seem to be relationships are a really big part of that. And then I'd say beyond that, then it's the, I guess, the tools that you can use to really help your own mental stamina and your own health to support in the background.
Yeah, it's interesting. So we'll come back to that. Well, actually, we'll jump into that too. You sort of mentioned your community and the people that help support you through it. How important was that, surrounding yourself with the right people? Because we as chiropractors love to talk about our community and the tribe that we have and the people that we look after, and we foster that. On a personal note, to help you in your journey, how important was your community and having them surround you to help you through that?
Yeah, you're not wrong, Kim. And depending who you surround yourself with will really determine your outcome as well. So for me, the people that I was around were super encouraging. They really wanted to see me succeed in what I was doing. Everyone was very positive. And I could see the opposite happening in some senses, because, for instance, I've always been a member of the ACA, and so I can lean into that as a group of people that are all on the same mission, and we all want to serve people and help them have a better quality of life. But there's also, I can see myself, for instance, in that situation, my first 3 years of practice, if I sort of filled my cup with the people I was working with, I'd be very quickly in the opposite direction. And that being said, I think Facebook was a much bigger thing back then, and the groups that chiropractors were part of, depending on what you focus on, you could really get steered depending on if you surround yourself with the right people. Like some people are very positive with what you're doing and encouraging and supportive. There's a whole host of people around that same time that I'm guessing would have had an influence on that cohort that I went through uni with that didn't continue because of the lack of encouragement or the bias that they held towards the profession, for instance. I think in the short end of it, the right people are what you need. It's the ones that love you beyond being a chiropractor, but also want the best for you. And we'll encourage you if you do need to step out of a situation that's not healthy for you, we'll actually back you and support you in that. So the story of me going to Mudgee, the week that I had to link up with Jesse, actually there was two separate weekends. The first one I was needing to get to Bathurst to, I think, start a shift with Jesse at 7:30 in the morning. So it was a pretty early start from Sydney. So my dad said, hey, why don't we drive together? We'll actually stay the night in Bathurst and I'll just hang around for the day and we'll drive home together. And then mum, I'm giving a bit of a shout out to these guys, but mum, the day that I was meant to go to Mudgee, I had the flu. Like I was proper unwell. She put me in the car and drove me out there. And the practice wasn't even open. So we just went out, I think it was on a Saturday or something, and we just had a look around and sort of say, hey, this actually feels right. Let's do it. And so I think it's those people that you surround yourself with that, one, they're supportive, they're encouraging, they love and care for you, but they'll back you. And they'll be backing you not just with good words, but action. That takes you to that next step.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. That's I think that's so important. That's why I think our profession is so unique, like you said earlier, because there's so many people that believe in all of us who become chiropractors. And then if you're surrounded by them, that constant reinforcement is crucial to our development. And it doesn't matter what stage you're at. Like even me at my age, when I say that, I'm not that old, but hey, that's another story. But the journey that I've been on, I've only been surrounded by those who care, love, support, and are always, you know, my biggest cheerleaders. And 35 years down the track, I wouldn't be here without them. So I completely agree with your sentiment there. So, yeah, so true. Now, in terms of actually being a chiropractor itself, with the journey that you had, do you feel like your philosophy around chiropractic change evolved during that process? I suspect that, like anything, as young graduates, we always have an understanding, but again, so much. Then, as we go along in our journey, I'm assuming we grow into that a little bit more. So, I wondered whether or not, with your journey in terms of the path you had to navigate through, did your philosophy around chiropractic evolve or change very much during that process?
Yeah, and I think for myself, I actually had to find it for myself too. I didn't come from a background where I had been told anything about chiropractic, except I've seen it and I saw it work and I saw it helped a friend of mine and it got great results. That's really the extent of what I understood with chiropractic as such. And the philosophy, I think this is where it gets tricky because at least in our university study, we don't really get any philosophy grounding. In terms of what health is and what the profession is and what some of the initial thoughts on how it was working and what's going on is. So for me, I guess once again, those first 3 years, I was probably lost in that and really had to find it. And for me, I didn't really find it in, and I'm sure everyone's got a slightly different journey to get to this point. But for me personally, it wasn't like reading the green books that really got me energized and understood things. For me, it was much more around like actually understanding what health is and how I believe that, because I didn't realize it. I actually just thought this was normal, that we are beings that self-regulate and heal themselves. Like I thought that was just normal, but that's actually a philosophical statement, even though it's grounded in science. So I think for me, just understanding, it's like, actually, no, this is these are how I look at health, and this is how I look at the values of what I do to the body to help it. And and that's been a, I guess, a journey that's taken some time. But I think what I got hung up on early was, well, philosophy, you're either a philosophical chiropractor or you're a mechanistic chiropractor. I don't know if that's still something that's said very often, but it just doesn't even make sense to me anymore. It's like, well, you could actually be both, but your philosophy might be this and your mechanistic might mean this. It's something that you've got to come to terms with through your own experience and what you believe and how that sits with you personally.
Yeah, I think the thing that you said there that really resonates, well, I resonate with and has been part of my practice, is just instilling that understanding the body knows how to heal, regenerate, repair, and us being the practitioner being the person to help facilitate that. I think that's a very simple message, which can fall for both mechanistic and vitalistic, really, because effectively what you're doing is you're allowing the body to try and find its homeostatic positioning, right?
That's right.
So it just makes common sense sometimes, but it's a philosophy, I guess.
And I think this is the bit that I reckon those first couple of years that are very you've really got to nurture these new graduates in.
Yeah.
Is they can get lost in their own identity, because maybe they're trying to fit a philosophy that doesn't fit them. And I can see that for myself, where certain chiropractors and different practices were actually then blaming philosophy as the reason that they weren't able to achieve what they wanted to achieve.
Yeah, wow.
Where I think this is one of those things that I, once again, can only look in hindsight at the gradual growth that's happened over time that's allowed me to see that, for me, that philosophy that I thought I needed to dive into was actually doing the opposite effect on me. Like, it didn't have that motivation and purpose and my values built into it. And I'm sure there's still lots that, from reading those things, I've taken out of it, and it's shaped how I see what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't one of those things that really fired me up and got me revved up for the next day when it was hard.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's good to know. Now, you sort of touched on about things you'd like to share, and, you know, obviously making your young associates aware of your journey and what have you. So if I was to ask you one take-home message to our listeners, whether they're young, old, or in between, what would you say to chiropractors, or even students for that matter, who are currently feeling like they're a bit uncertain? I know there are a couple of students who are in fifth year who come and see me for adjustments. They feel, oh, I'm a little bit uncertain. Oh, I don't know if I'm being burnt out. And in my head, I'm going, burnt out? You're in fifth year, you know, or maybe even lacking direction. So what would you say to those chiropractors or young grads or even students for that matter? What's one or two take-home messages, Ryan?
It would have to come down to finding that right person that can hold your hand through the process.
Perfect.
Get in the right practice, get the right mentor, and learn as much of them as you can. You may not stay with them forever. It might be a year or two that you can really hold on to their coattails, but build up those skills. And I think, know that those people are out there. There's a lot of great chiropractors. Like, I know the ACA board is full of them. So if you're not sure of who to speak to, ring them up and chat to them and say, hey, I'm in this area, or this is where I'd like to practice, or do you know of anyone that I could essentially link up with to learn from? Because I guess my example is not unique, where those first couple of years are hard. And even with my associate here, she's 2 years in and she's still learning a lot. And as am I every day, but it is like any new thing. It's not easy to start with, and you just got to hang in there, hang on to the right people. You'll find your feet and you will grow ultimately. Like, if you put in the work, you're put in the right environment, and you dedicate yourself to growth, you will continue to grow.
Yeah, well said, mate. Couldn't have said that any better. Ryan, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I can honestly say, hand on heart, I'm grateful for the fact that you're a colleague and that you're still here with us, and that journey has led you to being an amazing chiropractor. So I really appreciate you joining us today and sharing your story. And I'm sure, I definitely am sure that this will resonate with, if one, two, or any, even if it was just one person, it would have gone, this will go a long way, this particular podcast. So appreciate your time, Ryan.
Thanks, Kim.
No, absolute pleasure. What a wonderful and powerful, honest conversation with Dr. Ryan Hislop today. I think one of the biggest takeaways from this episode is the reminder that uncertainty and struggle are not always signs of failure. They're often part of a journey towards growth, clarity, and eventually finding your purpose. So many practitioners quietly wrestle with self-doubt, comparisons, and questions around who they are clinically and professionally. Yet conversations like this remind us that finding your way back to purpose is possible. And Ryan is a testament to that. And sometimes those difficult seasons become the very foundation of who we are ultimately, who we ultimately become. Ryan's journey highlights the importance of staying connected to learning, surrounding yourself with the right people, remaining open to growth, and trusting the path that doesn't have to always look like it's anyone else's. To everyone listening who may feel lost, stuck, or uncertain right now, hopefully this episode reminds you that you're not alone and that sometimes the practitioner you're becoming is forged through the very challenges that you're trying to overcome. So with that said, I can't thank you enough continually of all the wonderful people who are listening on our ACA podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your colleagues. This is a great message today. To all the students as well, share it amongst yourselves and anyone in the profession who may benefit from hearing this message. So guys, until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep serving with purpose. Thank you very much.